It is April 22nd, 2022, and this is the John Lothian News Daily Update. I am John Lothian. This podcast includes commentary from our hits and takes section of JLN, stories from the first read section of today's newsletter, a listing of the top three stories from yesterday's newsletter, and of the first three stories of the lead section of today's JLN. This podcast is a production of John Lothian News, home of MarketsWiki and MarketsWiki Education. We encourage you to learn about the history of trading from our Open Outcry Traders History Project or the Path to Electronic Trading video series at johnlothiannews.com. Here are the hits and takes comments from today's JLN. Today's top lead story about a previously undisclosed meeting between CME Group's Terry Duffy and FTX's Sam Bankman-Fried at FIA's Boca 2022 conference a month ago is a well-timed piece that I am guessing was leaked by the FTX side to help build support for their proposal before the CFTC. This piece shows FTX has some powerful friends who are helping them in their quest to constructively disrupt the current market infrastructure and customer, broker, and exchange relations. It is interesting, too, the way they chose to frame this story, using the meeting with Terry Duffy as the hook. You have Bankman-Fried, the 30-year-old billionaire, and Duffy, the 63-year-old millionaire. Bankman-Fried built his exchange in 2019. Duffy's exchange has been around since 1898, and Duffy has been chairman since 2002, executive chairman since 2006, and CEO since the end of 2016. There's the new way of doing things that moves fast, and there's the old legacy way of doing things represented by the CME Group and Duffy. FTX has some good public relations and political advisors helping them, it would seem. On the other hand, this could just be some excellent follow-up journalism by Catherine Doherty and Allison Versbrill, who were at Boca with an assist from fellow Bloomberg crypto reporter Yuki Yang. OCC Chief Operating Officer Scott Warren has given notice to the OCC Board and Management Committee that he will retire at the end of the year after a 36-year career, the last seven at the OCC. He announced his decision on LinkedIn, saying he was not starting a new chapter, but a whole new book. Congratulations to Scott on his great career. We at JLN wish him and his family well in the years ahead. Mark Green is starting a new position as Senior Director of Technology at FINRA. Green was a longtime CME Group employee who left in March of 2019 as Director of Software Engineering. Kevin David is leaving Cboe Global Markets for NASDAQ starting next week. His last piece for Cboe's Inside Volatility newsletter is titled "The Certainty of Volatility." Thank you to Kevin for his help with our Term of the Week while he was at Cboe. We hope we can continue to collaborate at NASDAQ. Longtime SunGard GMI FIS employee Roseanne Arnett is leaving the firm for a job with AllView Systems as Director of Business Performance Training and Development. Euronext held a bell-ringing ceremony for Deloitte Technology Fast 50, which is a ranking of the 50 fastest-growing technology companies in the Netherlands. The companies are recognized for their exceptional growth performance. The president of the Chicago Federal Reserve Bank, Charles Evans, announced he will retire in early 2023. My question is, if you get this job, can you work from home? Today, JLN is announcing the shutting of the JLN Plus streaming service that showed in real time editors ripping my copy to shreds. There were complaints that all the red ink reminded people of blood, so we shut it down. ICYMI Jeremy Bacon, a Chicago fintech executive and co-founder of The Forge, is hosting an Earth Day Summit at The Forge, Lamont Quarries, one of the largest aerial adventure parks in North America, on Saturday, April 23rd, from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Bacon co-founded The Forge Charitable Adventures, TFCA, to improve the health of communities by restoring and maintaining native ecosystems, promoting active stewardship of the environment, and providing access to outdoor education and recreation for everyone. You can go to a link in today's newsletter to find out more, Sarah Rudolph reported. Here are more stories from the first read section of today's JLN. First, a story from Sarah. Institutional trading options growth among first quarter 2022 trends, say FIA webinar participants. The trend for the first quarter of 2022 is a revival of institutional trading, along with continued rapid growth in the option space, according to an FIA webinar Thursday morning hosted by Will Ackworth, Senior Vice President of Publications, Data and Research, FIA, with Morgan Stanley's Reid Staub, Executive Director, Head of Interest Rate Futures, and Aaron Perzov, Head of Futures Content. Here are a few highlights from the webinar. Options on futures, securities, and indices grew 61% this quarter compared to the first quarter of last year, Ackworth said. The future space was flat as far as volume, but open interest in futures picked up this quarter. Open interest in futures and options at the global level is higher than it was a few years ago, but hasn't changed much since last year. Open interest in the first quarter was 1.1 billion contracts, up 1.4% from a year ago, and 25% from 3 years ago. So it's a slow but steady increase, Ackworth said. That indicates institutional interest, he added. Here's a video interview that I did. The title of the piece is ICE Mortgage Fixed Rate Lock Index Futures Seek to Solve a Problem as Old as Interest Rate Futures. ICE is trying to solve a problem as old as interest rate futures, but is bringing to bear new resources and businesses it has acquired and grown over the last several years. That problem is how to hedge mortgage interest rates. John Lothian News talked to David Farrell, Chief Operating Officer of ICE Futures US, about ICE Mortgage Rate Lock Index Futures, which are to launch on June 13, 2022, subject to regulatory approval. You can watch this video on johnlothiannews.com. Here's a story from Bloomberg and Nick Baker. The headline, Ken Griffin goes all in to make mayor of key trading hub the governor of Illinois. You'd never guess that wealth and power in America converge here at the intersection of Deal and Eola Road off Interstate 88 west of Chicago. This unassuming city, the setting of Wayne's World, the Mike Myers and Dana Carvey comedy about two dweeby metalheads with a public access TV show, has suddenly become a big money political battleground. My comment. You can think of Aurora Mayor Richard Irvin as the proxy server of Griffin's Illinois political interests. Here's a story from BBC. Work from home to beat Putin, says EU. The EU is asking its citizens to drive less, turn down air conditioning, and work from home 3 days a week to reduce reliance on Russian energy. The measures drawn up from the International Energy Agency would save a typical household 450 euros a year or 370 pounds a year. Buying energy from Russia helps to support its economy and finance the war in Ukraine. But Europe has said it cannot find alternative supplies, so it's asking citizens to adjust their lifestyles. Work from home, bike to where you need to go, plant a garden, all sounds good to me. Here's another story from Bloomberg. Mr. Lithium warns there's not enough battery metal to go around. A mining company consultant with decades of experience doubts the industry will be able to support all the electric car production planned. Batteries, and more precisely, battery metals, are poised to replace chips as the next bottleneck for the auto industry. While there's been a lot of attention on nickel, especially after Russia's invasion of Ukraine, another key metal, lithium, is a source of concern for manufacturers dealing with all manner of supply chain challenges. My comment, there is plenty of lithium to go around. That is why we have prices. It determines who gets the commodity and who does not. If it works economically, great. If not, then not so great, and look for substitutions. That is the way of the market. Here is a story from the Wall Street Journal. Crypto thieves get bolder by the heist, stealing record amounts. Hacker steals $182 million over the weekend, the fifth largest hack on record. Cryptocurrency hacks are getting bigger. On Sunday, a hacker exploited a new algorithmic stablecoin project called Beanstalk and drained it of $182 million worth of digital assets. The hack wiped out all of the Ether held by the fund. Once the Ether was removed, the value of the stablecoin itself, called Bean, collapsed to 10 cents from a dollar on Sunday, according to data from CoinGecko. Most recently, it was trading at 6 cents. My comment, the trend is not your friend in this case. Here's another story from Bloomberg. Crypto exchange Binance removes Twitter emoji that resembles swastika. Crypto exchange Binance has pulled a custom emoji it sponsored on Twitter after outraged users pointed out that it resembled a swastika. The emoji, which automatically appeared alongside the hashtags Binance and hashtag BNP and Bitcoin button, was released Wednesday, which was Adolf Hitler's birthday. My comment, maybe try some consumer test groups before you roll out a new emoji, unless this is what you were going for. Here are the top three stories from Thursday's JLN. Our top story Thursday was the Financial Times. Goldman Sachs sought to woo FTX at Caribbean meeting. Second was CoinDesk's FTX plan said to face CFTC roundtable next month. Third was hunger and blackouts are just the start of an emerging economy crisis from Bloomberg via Yahoo Finance. Here are the top three stories from the lead section of today's JLN. The first is the story referenced at the top from Bloomberg. Crypto billionaire rankles Wall Street titans with derivatives plan. FTX's Bankman-Fried wants algorithms to clear margin trades. Proposal draws pushback from execs, including CME's Terry Duffy. At a posh financial industry gathering known for swaying palm trees and late-night yacht parties, this year's main attraction was a face-off between a crypto billionaire and a futures exchange kingpin. There was Sam Bankman-Fried, whose FTX platform has rapidly become a dominant venue for investing in virtual coins, going toe-to-toe with Terry Duffy, the longtime chief executive officer of CME Group at the event in Florida. Among the topics broached in their intense conversation was an FTX proposal to execute every aspect of customers' crypto derivatives on its own, thus bypassing other exchanges, banks, and financial intermediaries. If FTX's bid is approved by regulators, many in traditional finance fear the model could be applied to other assets, threatening Wall Street's stranglehold over lucrative aspects of market plumbing. The centerpiece of FTX's plan is using algorithms rather than brokers to help clear trades, a crucial process for settling transactions that ensures sellers get their funds and buyers get their assets they've purchased. Here's another story from Bloomberg, the headline. Russia's $124 billion crypto market is pinched by Ukraine sanctions. Binance plans to limit services to large Russian accounts. U.S. targeted largest Russia's crypto miner Wednesday. Russia's $124 billion crypto market is facing new restrictions from measures to punish the Kremlin for its invasion of Ukraine, amid warnings that digital currencies could eventually help ease the pain of sanctions. Binance Holdings Limited, the world's largest cryptocurrency exchange, said Thursday it will curb services to Russians with crypto assets exceeding the value of 10,000 euros, that's about $10,885, in response to new European Union restrictions. Separately, the U.S. sanctioned BitRiver, which operates farms that mint about half of all digital currencies generated in Russia. And then here's a press release from Goldman Sachs. Welcome. U.S. and Goldman Sachs announced partnership to mobilize 100,000 Americans to sponsor Ukrainians seeking refuge in the United States. Nearly 70 organizations sign on to welcome people fleeing Ukraine. Sponsorship efforts supported by $3.6 million contribution from Goldman Sachs. Today, following the announcement from the Biden-Harris administration that people fleeing Ukraine will be eligible for humanitarian parole in the United States with a sponsor through a streamlined process starting Monday, April 25th, Welcome.us is launching an initiative to mobilize 100,000 Americans to sponsor people fleeing the war in Ukraine and seeking refuge in the United States. Thank you for listening to the John Lothian News Daily Update. Please consider telling a friend about our podcast, and if you haven't yet, please write a review on Apple Podcasts. This helps new listeners find us. Also, if you aren't already a subscriber to the daily John Lothian newsletter email, you can get a free 90-day trial at johnlothiannews.com/trial. Have a great day, have a nice weekend, and stay safe and treat people the same way you want to be treated. With respect, equality, and justice. This has been John Lothian. Goodbye.